have to ask you to forgive us for our late start this morning. We were all ready to go, and then one of my kids jumped off the back stairs over here, like they've been told not to do, but they do anyway. And he broke his shoe again. So we had a flat tire we had to change before we got back. Thankfully, he did it right by the supply cabinet where the glue was. So hey, it happened again. Well, why don't you go on to Sunday school? Go on. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Do you want to borrow mine? No, go downstairs. So it happened again. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you be with us. Lord, just guide us. Help us, Lord, as we look through these lessons on what stress is and how to deal with stress. Father, because the world's filled with it right now. And Lord, there's many things that we've got to combat, many things that we've got to fight, many decisions that must be made. And Lord, we need you in all of it. So Lord, I pray that we take these lessons to heart, that Lord, we find ways. And they're not hard to find, but the Lord, that we would find ways to instill every decision in you. Lord, to base everything we do off of what you would like, and Lord, your wisdom. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1, verse 1. And he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, we talked last week that stress is not the emotional response to what? Workload, trials, frustrations, temptations. It's not the emotional response. Why? Because those emotions are pre-established things, right? I've got 1,000 things to do, so I feel tired. I feel frustrated. I feel worn out. Those are already pre-established things that are a byproduct. They are the friction of the workload. They are the friction of the stress, right? The work's being done, the weight's being held, the emotion is the friction that remains, right? So now we're looking at it, we got to see if we're just talking about the workload of life, the problems, the work, the responsibilities, the things that have come into our life that we have to handle. What we're seeing here from what James says, that we ought to count it as a good thing that a certain amount of things happen our way. That a certain amount of work and stress comes in, because if we aren't doing the work, it makes us weak. We have to have experiences. We have to. We bemoan our problems, we get upset at the trials that come our way, but yet we pick on the billionaire baby who was raised never having to work a full day in his life. never having to make a hard decision in his life. Every need he's ever had is not just supplied, but supplied in spades. He's got everything he wants. We go, oh, that's a very soft person. Or we talk about different generations. Well, they hadn't had to go through the things that we went through, so they are much softer. What James is saying is, yes, there are things that must happen to harden you. Why? Because, again, this is a rough place to live. Is it not? This is a rough place to live. Right? You never know what trial is going to befall. You never know what's going to happen. And the atheist will sit there and say, well, if there is a God, there wouldn't be trials, all right? Well, atheist, you have no God, and you still have trials, so what now? What will you do now? And of course, that's where we got to stop. There must be the hard trials. Like the lifting of weights or the running of miles, these things temper the spirit and they temper the heart to make us stronger so that we can handle the next one better, if done properly. We have forgotten as a people how to handle stress. Right? Let's call to memory the Great Depression. You ever look up recipes? Some of you may remember these recipes, but recipes from the Great Depression. Remember some of the stuff that people would cook with? Think about your grand. You know, think about the many things you could do with beans. The many things you could do. Okay, well, what you need is you need 5 pounds of lard, some flour, and a little bit of grass from your backyard, and you can make a wonderful cake. You know, why were people like that? Because these were the hard times. This is what we learn to do with it. You know, why are you washing your tinfoil? Well, let me tell you, I don't wash my tinfoil. But why are you doing that? Why are you running your plasticware, the stuff that the disposable stuff? Why are you putting that? Why is Grandma putting that in the dishwasher? Well, let me tell you why. This happened, and it changed our way of thinking. And I tell you what, if we go through those areas again, we will have to relearn those things for those that never, for those that forgot and for those that never knew. We're going to have to learn those for the first time, right? You're going to have to learn how to reuse stuff and fix this and do that and repair what you have. Going through the hard times does something, and that's what James is trying to tell us here. Let's go ahead and look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Why is it that we see such extremes out there today? Why is it that Christians seem to be going through so much right now? Because things are getting harder. And they're going to get harder. And I would much rather them get harder as I'm working on a ramp than for me to have to be thrown into something ill-prepared. Our faith must be tried. There will be illnesses that are only there just to strengthen you. There will be trials that'll happen, the losses that'll take place, sorrows that will enter into our lives. And really, their only purpose there is to make us stronger, to make us better for them. You know, my wife and I, when we first got married, we had it all figured out. We did. Man, I had a great job. Everything was going good. I got painfully ill. To the point where I lost a job, had a hard time working. I had ulcers all throughout my lower abdomen. I was in and out of the hospital just trying not to bleed to death. I was rough. It was a rough place. You know what we learned how to do? We learned how to live poor. We learned how to live poor. And you know what? Praise the Lord for that. You know, we can do stuff with beans. We can. But why? Why is that important? Because what happens if you need it? It's there. We had to come from a humble place. Why? The only thing I could ever get out of it, the only thing I could ever think, why God allowed me to lose my job and allowed me to be in that position, right? The only thing I could ever work out of that was because the Lord was making me stronger, and He did. There are certain decisions that change because of what God did. Now, did that try my faith? Well, no, I knew the Lord was out there doing something. I think the trying part of it was I didn't know what He was doing. You ever been there? Lord, I know you're doing something. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, I'm out here, and I'm trusting that whatever happens, you've got me. But man, it is hard to dangle. It is hard to wait. But I think that was the trial. It's just patience. And I still struggle with that from time to time. I'll stand by the, how is it that Brother Austin put it at our conference? I'll stand by the Red Sea. I know he's going to do something, but I spend a lot of time not being still about it. Is it going to happen today, Lord? Lord, I just need to know. Is it going to happen today, Lord? Please just let me know. I know you're going to do something. I don't need to know what it is. I trust you. You're God. I'll never figure it out. But will it be today? Will it be right now? What will it look like? When it'll happen? What should I be doing until it happens? Should I do this with my hands, that with my hands, right? I move. And I think and I overthink. And I still struggle with that. And I know some of you struggle with it too. Why? Because God wouldn't make that such a prevalent lesson in Scripture had it not been a very basic human thing. It's a very basic human thing. Right? I trust in the Lord. I know He's doing something. I don't know what it is. But the waiting is hard. Waiting is difficult. You know, we sat there and we were at the conference and I was in we sat in the back because we were sitting back in the baby section of the conference. You ever sit in the baby section of the conference? And I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I'm listening. And there's all these kids there. And it was kind of fun because you just see every now and then one just kind of get up. Because they're all related up there, right? So they're all, one's going to come over here. They're going to go sit over there. And they get up and they sat over there, but it was pretty good. There was one toddler, one infant that was crying every now and then, but it was quiet. We don't know those kids were acting so good because they were used to it. They were used to it. Right? They sat there. I'm gonna start you off like this. Right, I'm going to keep you in here. I can go out. I'll come back in. But we trained them. Shh. I almost got in trouble. Jordan Graber and Claire were sitting behind us. I don't know if you know them. They've got 6 kids. And they had this little baby, and she was getting a little impatient. And Melody turned around, because when Melody acts up, we go, shh. Melody sat up in the pew, turned around, looked over, and went, a few minutes later, she got up and did it again. No, we're not turning this into a thing. He's got more guns than I do. You sit down. Everyone was being good. Why? We trained them. We worked with them. Right? They got stuff. They were occupied. They were just kind of sitting there being kids, but they were used to it. Folks, we've got to go through hard trials so that we learn to sit patiently. Right? Now, those kids, they sat there. They weren't getting much out of the sermon. But there's going to come a time when they reach early adulthood. When they reach adulthood, Lord saves them. They move on. They've now got a skill in their pocket that they can use. And then when they're listening to this sermon, now I got it. A small amount of trial. I don't know why I got to sit still, but Mommy and Daddy really like it when I sit still. I get all kinds of hugs and goodies when I sit still. And Mommy and Daddy, they don't like it when I start throwing stuff across pews. So I'm going to not do that. They don't get it. Folks, that's us. And we're blessed to go through, to have things to do. Could you imagine a life with no work? There's many people out there, they live it. All they do is sun up to sundown, and even way past sundown, filling their minds and their bodies with all kinds of nonsense that doesn't benefit them. They only take, they never put in. They never learn work. They never learn labor. So when the hard times come, what do they do? Well, it's like what the verse says. They wither. They wither and they fall apart. The Christian life that is not tried, the Christian life that where the faith is not expected, nothing is expected of their faith. It's a sad life. It's almost barely a life at all. Where I come in and there's nothing for me to experience. There's nothing for me to battle. There's no expectations of me. Stress does come in that form of that adversity of troubles and trials and tribulations. It comes in that form, yes. But we cannot neglect that there are benefits for when the Lord puts you through things. I want you to think about Moses for a second. Moses' story did not start off with he turned 40 and got to lead the children of Israel, did it? That's not how it went, was it? He turned 40, he got in trouble, he left Pharaoh's house. What did he do for 40 years? Anybody? It's Sunday school. Some of you was a shepherd. Now, why would God subject him? I mean, I get it. Make him a shepherd so he could go lead the people. Why 40 years? Because that's the time God put on the clock. 40 years you're going to learn. Right? At first you're going to figure it out. Right? There's always that first, it's exciting, it's fun. All right, we're going to learn a new thing, and oh, I'm out of Pharaoh's house, and I'm out here, I'm enjoying, I got a wife, I got kids. Oh man, this is great. And then after 5, 6, 7 years, then what's the lesson? Patience. Patience. And boy, did Moses need it, didn't he? He needed it. He needed all 40 years of being in a ruler's house. He needed all 40 years of sitting there making some stubborn animals do what they didn't want to do. And then he got to stand up and lead the children of Israel, who were by far more obstinate and more grumbly than any pack of sheep could ever be. And I like to think, just looking at the children of Israel and what God was preparing him for in that middle season of life, I'm imagining the Lord just probably gave him some increasingly awful sheep to deal with just to get him ready. We are put through these trials to better us, to make us better. Right? We often see that in our training. Lord says, if you can be faithful in a little, then I will give you much. Am I right? Right? We don't grab people who are new in training and throw them out there and expect great things of them. We see Job himself. Job, with all the things that he tried, God had confidence in Job. Why? Because Job had demonstrated in areas of his life a devotion and a love towards God. So when Satan came forward, have you seen Job? I know that Job is right, because everything in his life, he's got kids that don't honor me, he sacrifices for them on the off chance they did something wrong. That's how much Job is impressed. That's how much love Job has for the things that I've laid out. Our faith must be tried. And then what did he do? He lost everything. He lost everything. You know what he never lost? His integrity. Want to know why? Was it because Job was special? Was it because Job gave him something to prove a point? Because he was fighting a battle with the devil and Job was just some kind of a pawn to be tossed back and forth the chessboard? No. Because Job was faithful for all the years of his life. When the sheep got sick, when the camels, when the cows, when the kids were acting up, Job's faith held. So when he got to that point, God already knew he was strong. God already knew he could handle it. Folks, we don't develop that automatically. It's not something like in a Disney show or a kid's cartoon where we all get together. No, I believe in you. I believe in you. And all of a sudden they've got superhuman powers and they can kick a field goal through two towns or something like that. It's not how it goes. You start off faithful in the small things, and then you work. And you apply your faith. And you apply God's wisdom to your situations. You get better at those things. So then when they happen, you can just sit there and say, well, look who's back. That wolf is back at the door again. Well, we know how we ran you off the last 5 times. So guess what? We're going to run you off again. And some folks, you battle with your trial. Your trial lasts for the duration of your life. But you know how to fight that particular foe. You know how to deal with that. You know, we learn from our trials. We learn from our temptations. All right, well, I'm not doing that again. I know better than that. Last time I abandoned my wisdom. I abandoned God, my faith in the Lord, and I just panicked and I did whatever I wanted and I sinned in response to it. I'm not doing that again. I'm going to see what God would have me to do. I'm going to put it into place. And then what do? As trial after trial comes, we practice that and we get better. We get better. We think about anything in your home maintenance kind of a situation, right? When you do something for the first time, right? Let's say you've got a runny toilet. Okay, what do? You pull it apart. Okay, well, there's this little seal here that's causing my toilet to run. All right, so I should have shut the water off before I did that. And you know what? I needed some extra towels. You know what? I got the wrong seal. I got the wrong thing. I should have looked that up. And the whole thing's a learning curve, right? It's a whole process. The fifth or sixth time you're down there fixing that same problem, you've already got the water off. You got the towels laid out. You got four or five of the right seal the last time you had to fix it. You pull that out of the garage. Ha ha, honey, I told you we should have saved them, and I put it there, and we slap it on. Took us 2 minutes. What did take us 2 hours the last time? What about our faith? I went there. I heard those things. I was tempted by this. I gave into that temptation. Because I gave into that temptation, these things followed. So you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not doing that again. I'm not going there. I'm not going to have a part in that. Hey, listen, the last time I had grief in my life, this was my response, and it was hard and it was awful, but I tell you what, as I was coming out of it, the Lord showed me these things. Now as I go into this one, I have those tools in my hand. I've got those verses. I've got those habits concerning obedience and love to God. I've got those things ready, and I go into this battle with what the Lord has taught me. You see, our trials, our temptations, they make us better. They make us stronger, right? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I've seen Christians fall into the same temptation over and over and over again, and they come out the other side having said sorry, but they learn nothing from the process. I've seen Christians go through hard times, right? Financial, family, whatever. You pick. They go through the hard times, and they don't learn anything from it. They come out further from God than they were before. How? Why? Because we didn't turn to Him. We didn't learn. We didn't let patience have her perfect work. We had our way in it. We had our way in it. Right, a child, when they don't get their way, what do? As they grow up, what do they learn? Okay, well, I'm not happy about this. Right, I'm sick. My nose is stuffy. I got a fever. It's not cool. Right, and then what? Honey, I got a cold. Do we have any cold medicine? All right, Gunner. We move on. As we learn physically, we must also learn spiritually. Right? Hey, I'm struggling with some anxiety. I'm struggling with some frustration. I'm struggling with the emotions that come with the workload. I'm struggling with the workload. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. You know, at 2014, remember 2014, we had some absolute snowfalls. I mean, there's bombs. We were bombed with snow. And the reason why I remember that is while I was working at a property that had 200 and some odd walkways and porches that you had to shovel off. And there was just miles of sidewalk. And the property itself didn't have any money for snowblowers. So it was a bunch of us with shovels. And we worked for hours trying to get all that snow up so that nobody would fall, nobody would get hurt, right? We had a bunch of students, we had a bunch of elderly, we had just everybody you could imagine. Not good for them to fall. We had a responsibility, so we were out and we were shoveling with what we called spoons, because that's really all they were, some busted up shovels, and we were just shoveling. And I got to grousing about that. Can't buy no snowblowers. I tell you what, I quit right now. You know, I remember, Lord had to deal with me. I was sitting there for a sermon, and our pastor talked about remembering God's blessings in the past, and also to remember the trials of the past. And you know what I got called into attention? The day I lost my job, and all of a sudden I had all these bills. And you know what else the Lord brought to my attention? The overtime check, which was nice. You know what? That changed my entire attitude. Lord, thank you for the snow. Lord, thank you for the shovel. Thank you for these people that that refuse to buy us snowblowers. Lord, thank you. Because you're securing my family. I lost a ton of weight too. There was tons of benefits to that thing. What a great thing. but in the wrong attitude, in the wrong heart. So I tell you what, the next time I was working in a position and I didn't think that it was fair and I was having a hard time, you know what I remembered? What God taught me the first time. And every subsequent time I could point back and say, hey, Lord, remember that time you brought me low so that you could bring me higher? Now all of a sudden I've got a lot more patience for stuff like that. Why? Because God worked before. I trust He's working now. He taught me some gratitude, taught me some humility. And you take those lessons and you apply them to your life and you hold your situations up to God and say, Lord, whatever your intentions are with this, I pray that either it is the effect or it's even the side effect that I get closer to you in this. That I learn how to be a better child through this. That I follow you better and serve you better because of this trial. We see so often that we can earn a heightened threshold of endurance when it comes down to troubles, trials, and pain when we turn to God in those things. In those things. As patience has her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Now that word perfect does not mean without sin. It means complete, to be perfect, right? I put this together. Well, how does it look? It's perfect. It's all together. There's no extra parts. All the things are on there, right? That's what your goal is. I want all the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to be able to grow the fruit of the Spirit even during my hardest times. So I must practice those things in the hardest of times. The next verse on here talks about asking God for wisdom and how to develop those things, right? It's taking my knowledge and putting them into practice. All right, Lord, I have sat, many of you are in this position, I have sat through preaching for decades. And now here is this problem I have never faced before. I pray, Lord, that you take the knowledge you've bestowed on me and give me the ability to apply it to what I'm fighting today. That needs to be our prayer. Lord, teach me how to use what you've given me. Because it is easy. Now pay attention to me on this one. I know we're about done, and pay attention to me on this one. The temptation with knowledge is to be satisfied with knowledge. I know stuff. God is not so satisfied that you just know stuff. You must take that knowledge and apply it to your life. Applied knowledge is wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. I know better. I know what to do. I know what you've asked of me. Now show me how to put shoes on this thing and make it run. Show me what to do in my life. Right? You say fruit of the Spirit, so let's pull out the fruit of the Spirit. What is it that I'm lacking as I'm going through this trial? Because there's nothing else I can do. I've done all my responsibilities. I've gone to the doctor's appointment. I've made the phone calls. I've asked for the forgiveness. Whatever the trial is, I've gotten this or that. I've gotten a raise. Whatever it is that we needed to do, we're doing the responsibilities. There's nothing else to do, so what am I going to do? Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. What do I lack right now? Lord, show me. You've given me decades of knowledge. Show me what to do with it. And Lord, give me the patience. Give me the wherewithal and the focus to be able to do this well. We'll continue on our lesson talking about our prayer for wisdom during adversity, how to mature wisdom in our adversity, and then how to have the proper perspective when we're going through things. Let's pray. Heavenly